This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. League of Legends patch 8.11 is live, and this is one major patch. Invin Global Esports reporter James Hong is going to join me to break down all that this patch has to offer. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so for the upcoming patch, patch 8.11, what can we expect in character changes?
So there's a lot of interesting character changes, but there's really only two that really caught my eye, which was the Elise buff and the Kha'Zix change. So talking a bit about Elise first, she got a good movement speed bonus on her human form and her spider form, which is good. And her spider form, spider link damage increased by 5 to around like 10 to 15 at later levels, which is pretty good for her early clear and damage as well. And I think this is a good change, right? Because Elise has not really been into the meta for a couple of patches now. And it's mostly just because of the Runic Echo's jungle AP item that's not that good compared to other jungle items, but it's nice to see this buff, and I think she's going to see a bit more play, so that's good. Secondly, this Kha'Zix change, I don't know how to feel about it, just because the overall buff is ultimate invisibility and his evolved ultimate invisibility, which, you know, they increased the invisibility timer to 3 seconds, and they made it so you can ultimate 3 times if you upgrade your ultimate. So, you know, I mean, it just seems really good. Like, Kha'Zix is probably going to be the solo queue King jungler after this patch hit, if it hits. You know, I'm excited to see where this hit goes out, just because I'm a huge Kha'Zix player. And the other changes, such as to, you know, Shyvana, Nocturne, Massey, those are very minor changes. I don't think they're going to see, you know, a drastic increased amount of play, just because a few points of attack speed was increased and things like that. Actually, another huge change was Talia, right? Talia, her Q got massively buffed. Now, the Q has extremely low cooldown, and the mana refund when you cast your Q on Worst Ground now costs to 1 mana instead of, you know, the full cost of whatever mana it may be. So hopefully we'll see a lot more Talia. It just depends on how the meta really shifts with all the Anivias and the Aurelion Solos and Solo Queue and whatnot. But I see Talia making its way up there, so that's nice.
Will there be any champions that get buffed this patch?
So it's a very slight buff. Anivia got buffed. Her Q, actually her AP ratio on the Q, went up by 5% from 40% to 45%. It's just a nice quality of life change, just because her Q was just used for CC most of the time, just to, you know, amp it out with the E double damage hit. But you got a bit more punch. Hopefully, you know, Anivia players will like this. But Anivia is already strong in solo queue, so.
Are there going to be any champions that get nerfed? I didn't see any, but maybe I could be wrong.
Some of the champions, when they say changed, it's semi-nerf, right? The champions that I talked about before, such as Master Yi, Shyvana, and Nocturne, all of their base ADs got reduced. But to compensate for that, their attack speed got increased as well. So it's overall, no champions did get nerfed. They just got slightly changed, maybe, you know, put in a few numbers here and take away from there, that kind of thing.
Now, these changes, they kind of seem kind of minute. Why go through all the trouble of just changing it by a couple of points?
Usually, they make these very minor changes to stats such as, you know, health, armor, magic reserves, attack speed, and base AD. Just so they want to really make sure these champions don't go over the edge when new items or item changes go into the patch. So, for instance, there's a new item coming out. I believe it's called Stormraiser, right? And some champions such as Nocturne might really abuse and really, you know, benefit from this item being released. So I believe they're taking that into hand and really lowering some of the base ADs just so, you know, Nocturne's not too crazy in the early game with that item rush or things like that.
Now, I've been playing on the PBE, and I did go down as an AD carry, and I did notice that Stormraiser is an incredible item. And in the hands of Draven, it was too OP. But, you know, Draven is a kind of champion where if he can catch his blade, he gets like an increase in AD, I think. So do you think that Draven will get nerfed in the upcoming patches? Because Stormraiser, along with Infinity Edge and a bunch of other weapons, it just makes him too powerful. What do you think?
I see your point there, and I semi-agree that, you know, Draven might be extremely powerful, but there's two things when it comes to Draven where The first thing is his axes do all the damage, but he rewards players that are good and he punishes players that are bad. So essentially, really balances out his power level to the point where, you know, in some elos, he's going to be very balanced. In other elos where players know how to abuse him, he'll be extremely strong, right? But then, in the other hand, for those players that know how to abuse him, they're going to be a lot of players that can punish Draven equally because he has no escape tools, such as, you know, dashes or blinks, other than the summon that's all flash. So we'll just have to see if these changes do go live, to see if Draven's going to be, you know, in the meta and going to be really strong, but we also need to take into consideration, you know, what supports are going to be strong in that meta, what other AD carries are going to be strong in that meta, and see where Draven really fits into that kind of mix-up. So, but overall, I agree that Draven might become extremely strong with the new item and with the new changes, which is hard to see.
Besides Draven, what other character do you think is going to be a problem now with Stormraiser coming out?
Stormraiser is not necessarily like a item that you really want to rush on every ADC. Because some ADCs, you know, such as Kai'Sa, Jinx, or Kalista don't really scale that heavily well on flat AD and a bit of crit. I would say champions like Draven, just as you said, Jhin is pretty good. Maybe even Lucian and MF as well, just because of the pure AD that they have. They really synergize well with their passives and their attack speed buff, so we'll see some changes there, and those four champions, I believe, will take the most out of it. Lucian, Miss Fortune, Jhin, and Draven.
Now, for this upcoming patch, are there going to be other changes to items that we should be looking out for?
There's actually a lot of changes, but there's a few that I really want to talk about, which is, the first one is Shirelia's Reverie. So, this item, when it first came out, it was only insane, just because Vladimir could rush it and be so effective on it, right? It'll give the movement speed that Vladimir wanted to go in and dive people in the back line. It gave pretty good health, cooldown reduction, and, you know, standard AP. So I believe when they actually nerf this, they really want to keep control of Vladimir in the mid lane just because he's such a power pick right now. I can clarify this by saying, you know, they added 100% base mana regen on it and reduced the active cooldown and the passive movement speed. So it's really, the item itself is not that powerful, but it's just in synergistic aspects with Vladimir as itself. So that's a very interesting nerf, and I'm interested to see if Vladimir is, you know, going to be played less just because of this item nerf. Just because he's probably the only one that's been building this item. The second change I want to talk about is Runic Echoes, the jungle item, the AP jungle item that I mentioned previously when I was talking about Elise. So its AP got increased by 10 from 60 to 70, which is a fantastic change. Just because if you look at the meta right now regarding to the jungle, you really only see Evelynn as AP in the jungle, and everyone else is just either tank or just flat-out AD, right? And it's nice to see these buffs come in just because, you know, we like to see a lot of variants in the jungle. We want to see people like Evelynn and Elise do well and can, you know, fight on par with other AD junglers as well. So that's a very important, nice change to have. The other big changes are Stormraiser is getting added, as we talked about previously. The big change is Banner of Command actually got changed, so the Banner minion no longer is immune to magic damage, right? This is incredibly huge, just because Banner of Command was just used in high level of play just to deny mages from wave clearing instantly when they're about to push. And it also helps, you know, ongoing pushes with Baron buffs or Dragon buffs and things like that. They changed it now, it no longer gives magic damage immunity, but just gives, you know, extra stats, let's just say 40 MR on melee and siege minions 100 magic resist, right? So it's much more easier to deal with, and it's not really of, hey, buy Banner of Command and you just win the pushing game, right? So that it's a very nice change. I think it's a healthy change. It still has its, you know, purpose, right? You can still build Banner of Command and really help you push, but now it's not completely punishing to the enemy mid laner where they're like, I can't clear the minion wave, so I guess we're going to lose some cards.
Are there going to be any weapon nerfs?
As an ADC main myself, I'm a bit anxious of all these nerfs coming through regarding crit items. So all the attack speed crit items such as Zeal, Rapid Fire Cannon, Static Shiv, Renan's Hurricane, Phantom Dancer are all getting nerfed. Their costs are all getting increased by 200 or 300 gold, which is insane, just because all ADCs want to rush that item either first or second, right? And in the early game, 200 to 300 gold is, you know, the difference between a teamfight won or a teamfight lost. So it's really big. And the second change is regarding to Infinity Edge, where Infinity Edge no longer gives critical strike damage and no longer gives 20% critical strike chance. And on top of that, they removed the passive where your critical strikes do an additional amount of damage. Instead, replacing that, they added a new passive where it says 50% of a critical strike damage dealt to champions is converted to true damage. So this essentially means that if you do 100 damage off a critical hit strike, at 100 damage, 15% of that is, you know, added as true damage, which on paper sounds pretty good, right? Every hit, you're like, oh, I'm doing, you know, extra true damage. I can, you know, cut down the tanks, things like that. But if you work it out statistically and mathematically, you actually have a decrease in damage overall regarding to crit builds and crit items and things like that. So I'm a bit uneasy on this change. I realize that AD carries are really strong right now. They do need a change, if not a nerf, but these crit item changes really shift everything on its, you know, on its head. So I'm a bit anxious to see how this all turns out. And another thing to add is that Infinity Edge now doubles your critical hit chance, which is very interesting to see, just because that's pretty much essentially putting on a Yasuo pass, right? Because Yasuo passive is every critical hit chance you have, you just double it. So I'm interested to think how this really works with Yasuo's passive. Does it, like, triple up, or does it just mitigate his passive overall? Do they need to change Yasuo just because they changed the Infinity Edge passive? There's a lot of things to consider, but yeah, it's just a massive change, and hopefully they won't go through with most of these, but it seems like AD carry is getting a big hit.
I noticed, because I played Jinx on the PBE, and the BF sword, you now need two of them to make Infinity Edge, and I was so upset about that, because it already costs so much to get the sword, 1300. And I was like, I have to sit here and farm and pray I don't get hit anymore and to get a second one. And then the zeal, I think that's what it's called, the zeal or something, and that's 1300 too. So for Jinx, the recommended was to get the BF sword, the zeal, and then boots. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is so much money. I'm going to have to guarantee to get a kill to get some of this coin mm-hmm. that I need. But are there going to be any weapons that are going to get buffed this patch?
Luckily, there's some weapon changes and some buffs as well. So Blade of the Rune King got buffed, where its gold cost got reduced by 200, which is pretty good, right? Because Blade of the Rune King is usually a rush for first item, or, you know, if not, a second or third. So that's a very nice change there. And Bloodthirster got buffed, where, same as Blade of the Rune King, the cost got reduced by 200 from 3,700 to 3,500, which is a nice change. Just because Bloodthirster was, you know, with IE, the most expensive item that you can buy as ADC. And some of the other changes is Guardian Angel got buffed as well, a bit more AD, a bit more armor, which is nice for AD carries. And yeah, that's mostly regarding the weapon changes and weapon buffs, actually. There's some items that got added in for AM, but we'll just have to see, yeah.
Now, for patch 8.11, is there going to be any rune changes or no?
There's going to be changes to Fatal Footwork. Again, a new rune is actually going to be added called Hail of Blade, which is going to be in the Domination Keystone. So talking a little bit about the changes to Fatal Footwork. So they're increasing the energized attack on AP by a little bit, which is nice. They changed the movement speed from 20% to 30%, which is pretty good as well. But uncompensated for that, they removed some of the healing effects from it. And ranged champions now get even more reduced healing from minions. You know, this is going hand-in-hand with how AD carries are so overpowered right now, with everyone just going through the footwork, just because, you know, it gives you sustain, it gives you movement speed, it gives you everything you really want in an AD carry in the early game just to survive that laning phase. So I believe this change is really oriented around, hey, ADCs are too strong, we need to, you know, change some of the items, we need to change some of the champion stats, and we also need to change the keystone that most, if not all, ADCs go to. So it's a change that we really need to look into, but I believe it's a very nice change, just because I hate to just pick an ADC and be forced to go this tree every single game for, you know, multiple games that I play ADC, right? I want some more variants. I want to switch up keystones from game to game to make it more interactive. So I think this is a healthy change. And the second, regarding Hail of Blade, so essentially what it does is it gives you a fair amount of attack speed for the next 3 auto attacks that you make on an enemy champion. And this buff can temporarily exceed the attack speed limit, which is 2.5 attack speed of the cap. And It's a very interesting change. I think because Fleet of Footwork got changed, they really want to add some new dynamic, as I said before, where ADCs don't really need to go fleet every single game. So maybe we'll see some champions take advantage of Hail of Blade, or, you know, it'll go straight into the Assassin tree, but I'm looking forward to using this next time it's available in PBE or when it comes to Lias Vega.
Now, one of the trees that I noticed in Sorcery, a lot of things got changed, at least from the last time I remembered. It's now kind of focused on movement speed. Are they saying that, you know, like mages are really slow champions? Is that why they keep sticking movement speed in there?
I believe it mostly comes down to Riot really wanting to implement rewards for, you know, having or selecting certain runes or, you know, keystones, right? And the best way to really complement and reward players is, you know, by movement speed. Just because stats are so dangerous when if you give too much, it's the go-to pick for every champion. If you give too little, no one's going to pick it, right? So a very safe choice is extra movement speed, just because a lot of champions right now can make use of that, whether it be junglers that want to have increased movement speed in the river or, you know, in teamfights or when they want a gank, or when, you know, mages take movement speed for landing extra skill shots, landing extra auto attacks, increasing chances of trades, things like that. So it's a very nice little reward that helps players want to pick, you know, certain keystones and et cetera. So that's kind of the aspect of why they put so much movement speed into the sorcery aspect.
They did take out Ultimate Hat out of the sorcery tree, at least on the PBE. Do you think that by doing that, they kind of made it more of like a secondary tree rather than being more primary?
Sorcery is a very good tree overall, right? It can be used as a primary tree and it could be used as a secondary tree just because the keystones and the secondary runes as itself is just so good. Just because, as I said earlier, there's so many champions that can get a lot of use out of the bonus movement speed that you get. So I'm not really sure what really is the secret direction Riot is really pushing this tree out to be, but it just seems like a very overall nice tree to have, whether it be primary or secondary. And I don't believe they're, you know, trying to push it so sorcery is the best at secondary.
Since we're talking about PPE all the time, and like, I want to know, what did you think of Pyke? Have you had a chance to play with him yet?
Actually, I had a lot of games with him. I really like the champion and his design, so I really let myself in there. But my thoughts on Pyke is very interesting. How when I initially played him, I thought he was extremely good and extremely overpowered in the bot lane. But then I started playing him jungle and other lanes and things like that, and once I played a couple of games with him, I realized that he's extremely good when you're ahead and extremely useless when you're behind. So in that aspect, he was very unappealing to me. You know, a champion should be at least a little bit full when behind, or, you know, have an opening to really come back. But with Pyke, it really seems like, you know, if you're behind, you're really just worthless champion. You can't really execute anyone. You can't really engage properly just because of the cooldown, and you really need to be, you know, in front of everyone to at least CC them. So it really felt difficult in that aspect.
Now, I played with Pyke was jungle. Pyke was absolutely useless in the laning phase until maybe about 8 or 9. That's when you saw Pyke running and starting to do some kind of ganks. But before then, this one particular match I was in, the rival jungle actually made fun of our jungle Pyke. Because he's like, what, you don't be so mad that you have long cooldowns and you have no attack damage. Don't be mad. And we ended up losing that match, but he was right. I mean, between levels like 1 through 8, Pyke did no damage. And the most he did was, in my opinion, kill steal. Because he would just go into the lane, you did all this work, and he would just start spamming R. And one of the unfortunate things I learned, because this particular match I was playing Jinx, if you have your inventory full, you will not get the reward, like the half of the loot. So I was like, where's my money? At least give me the money. And I didn't get it. So I felt like completely ripped off that not only did he take my kill, but I didn't get the money either. So it's going to be interesting once Pyke goes live, because I think a lot of people are going to complain about the kill stealing. I'll be honest with you.
Hopefully they'll fix the bug where if your inventory is full, you still get the gold somehow.
Yeah.
But
when you were playing Pyke, what kind of gear did you get him? What did you think was useful for him?
Starting off with the runes, actually, I think just for talking about Pyke in the support role at bottom, I think, you know, just generally going tank is your safest and best option just because his passive gives you bonus AD for the more healthy build, and then the ultimate simultaneously also does bonus damage the more AD you have. So it gives, you know, if you build health, you're getting, you know, you can have your cake and eat it as well, right? You get the tankiness from the health, you get the bonus AD from your passive, which also increases your ultimate damage, so that's nice, right? So you want to just get your standard tank support item and just go straight into whatever situation may best fit your team, whether it be some shield or some healing or, you know, cooldown reductions or spirit massage or warm mugs, things like that. And those two items are really good with Pike just because of his W passive health regen when he's not seen by enemies, so that really synergizes well as well. For runes, just take grass just because it increases your health every time you proc it, your maximum health, and it gives you that really nice trading potential and sustain that you really need in lane, just because Pike is so useless in the early game that if you get poked out or if you can't engage well enough, you're really useless.
When it comes to his gear, so you should just go pure tank, no, like, lethality weapons?
You can go lethality weapons as you if you want, but the recent PBE changes, I believe that Riot changed some of his scalings with his AD, so it's not as good as it was before. Mm. So going tank actually does a lot more damage in the long run. But, I mean, I would assume if you got really, you know, good kills in the early game and you're really snowballing, why not, right? Just go for the lethality. It'll do the same thing, but a little bit better and a little bit faster. It's just whether your team comp allows it or not, right? If you're the only one engaging or if you're the only one who can really take a hit and you go lethality, then you can't really get into that execution kind of mode just because no one's going to engage and chunk the enemies for you, right? But it really depends.
Those are good points. I do have to ask, though, what's the difference between lethality and armor pen? Because to me, it kind of looks the same.
That's a good question. Lethality, essentially, is it takes a flat amount away from the enemy's armor, while armor pen takes a certain percentage off the enemy's armor. So when you buy an item, it says plus 10 or plus 15 lethality. That 15 is directly taken off your opponent's armor when, you know, you cast a spell or you do an auto-attack against them. So if an enemy has 50 armor and he has plus 15 lethality, then you cut down their armor to 35. That's essentially how lethality works. And then armor pen is where, you know, items like Last Whisper will give you 10% or whatever amount of armor penetration. So that will take a percentage of the target's, you know, bonus armor, and then cut it off that way. So to think of it simply, lethality is good if your opponent has little to, you know, no armor, and armor pen is good if your opponent has medium to high armor. So it's really, you know, you want to build lethality early to mid-game, and you want to build armor pen, you know, late-game. So that's essentially the difference between lethality and armor pen.
One last thing before I let you go. Who do you think is a really good counter to Pike? Who do you think is going to sit there and be like, oh, you know, this is going to make Pike look easy?
If you face Pike in PBE or eventually when he hits blinds, you want to pick champions such as Tahm Kench, Braum, Lulu, even Janna or Brand, right? Because Tahm and Braum can really safeguard the ADC into getting CC'd by Pike Q or anything like that. And then if Pike ulties, Tahm can, you know, eat the ADC so they don't get executed, or Braum can safely, you know, cancel some of his animations with his ultimate or with his passive stun, so that's good as well. And the reasoning why I said Lulu Janna just because is Pike wants to dash through your team in order to stun them with his E, right? But then he can't do that if Janna slows him or knocks him away with his Janna's ulti or knocks him up with Janna's Q. Or even so, with Lulu, she can just polymorph Pike when he goes in, right? Or if Pike ulties and really wants that reset, Lulu can polymorph him so he can't ulti again, which is, you know, the, pretty much the identity of Pike where he gets that reset. He, you know, really snowballs off that laning phase. So those are really the champions you really want to look for. And lastly, just, I said Brand just because his poke is really good in lane, especially with someone like Pike who's really hard to engage with in the earlier levels just because you really don't have that sustainability or any resistances. So, Brand, if you play him well, he's going to be a good pick into Pike as well.
Well, James, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about League of Legends. And if you guys want to find more about me or, you know, how I know so much about League of Legends, you guys can check out InlandGlobal.com. That great site has everything you need regarding the games, you know, League of Legends, Overwatch, PUBG, things like that. Great community. So hope you guys can jump right in, and I'll see you guys there.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.